Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Overtime. Here on a beautiful Sunday morning, and whenever the NBA rumbles, and there's any word about, hey man, did you hear about this? I said, I don't know. I have to call my source. They said, well, who's your source? I said, look, who would you want to have on your side as a source if you had access to a wizard? If you had access to a wizard, anything that goes on, hey, man, I just point up to the sky and I say, wizard, what's up? And presto, just like that, he answered. Walt Williams, the legendary Terp, I mean, sharpshooter, my hero. Man, I tell you what, I'm so proud of you, dog, because Holiday, Naki, your broadcast team, I mean, you got three Hall of Famers. Y'all three Hall of Famers balling out. And the product, man, y'all coming.
Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, you know you're coming.
Good talking to you.
No, I love it, man. Tell me, I try not to overreact to the NBA, but whenever it happens out in purple and gold land, my phone starts blowing up. My phone literally fell apart this morning. And I go, well, I got to reach out for a wizard. So what was your initial reaction when you heard about the trade to AD?
Oh, man. I mean, I was shocked. To me, you know, I was shocked more so that Dallas would trade or part with Luka. That was the most shocking thing to me.
Are we too hard, and I say we, as a general public, are we too hard on the NBA? This thing with load management, I mean, we look at the number of games a guy like Embiid has missed, guys missing. Are we too hard? Is it that rugged and rough? Share your insight on it.
I mean, it is a rough game, man. But I tell you what, I couldn't imagine being able to play and then I'm just sitting out. You know, with load management, I mean, I might have would have lasted 5 to 7 more years, Doc.
Well, I just think about wreck, blacktop, how much ballers play. Y'all, every time anybody you know is a baller is always playing.
Yes,
you always hooping. And then you get to the ultimate level and nobody's hooping.
I mean, you know, I think that might have might want to do some studies on things or whatever, because that might have something to do with guys being injured. You know, the up and down, you know, the inactivity, and then you getting into this type of environment where it's very physical and it's very fast paced, and then you're sitting out some games, and then you're coming back, and you know that gotta have some effect on the body as opposed to, you know, playing all way through.
I'd always wonder, does the basketball, does it get a bad rap? And you know, globally now, top 10 players in the world, it's a global game. And it's changed completely different from when you were in college. And so yesterday, I talked about rivalries a lot, and but there are a lot of them are just a shell of themselves. A lot of it has to do with conference, moving conferences, and a lot of different things. Duke, Carolina, that still seems to bring some pop, even though I couldn't recognize the Carolina roster.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I'm gonna be honest with you, Doc. I don't pay attention to Duke and Carolina too much, but you know, though, that game right there is always a good rivalry game. You know, sometimes it's going to be blowouts on either side, and sometimes it's going to go down to the wire. You know, it seemed like Duke had much more talent than North Carolina.
That's an understatement. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you saw that come to surface. So, when the game first started and you saw the flow of the game, it was expected that Duke was going to win that game, and you didn't expect it to be close.
Big Ten, I mean, things are never going to be what they once were. A lot of us call that progress. It seems like Terps have hit and starting to figure this thing out. What's your take on where you are now and where you see it going?
Well, I'll tell you what, Big Ten, you know, that league is a tough conference this year, man. I mean, even the top teams, you look at a Michigan State, they're at the top there, but it doesn't seem like they are a dominant team in Big Ten. You know, so many of these teams are just beating each other up, and so it's just wild to see how much parity it is. I mean, I will separate Michigan State since they are doing so well, but from that point on, all the way down to the bottom, you can be beaten by anyone. You know, even the teams that are not that good, supposedly because of their records. So every team, it seems like, have big guards, have a guy down low that's 7 foot, possibly even two of them. It seems like just about every team is stacked like that. And so it's a physical league. The Terps, what separates the Terps is that, to me, they have the best two interior players.
Size.
When you talk about Juju and Derek, those guys, man, they complement each other well. And then I think the guard play from the perimeter, they have a lot of guys who can shoot the ball, which they haven't had that in the past few years. And so now when you combine those two and then the way that they can play on defense, you know, they can go to another level defensively. I've seen Coach Willard's teams be better on a defensive end. So this room has this team has room to grow on that end. And that's possible. You know, they're going to get better at that. So as the season and goes, you're going to see them be a better defensive team, but more importantly, offensively, they can just get it going. Gillespie, Selton Miguel, Rice, you know, these guys are just getting busy out there, man. And then they have guys who come off the bench that give you some minutes out there as well. So, you know, they're a team that can play up-tempo, half court. So, you know, they're a pretty dangerous team right now.
And finally, Walt Williams just sharing his knowledge with us here. Courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. I got to ask you to help us, help me, help Metal understand the NBA. And that when you're trying to get better and you're losing, the Wizards snapped a 16-game skid, beating a good team. How hard is it to go through what they're going through? And how do we cherry pick the good things and the success and the building blocks as a base to hang in here and get through this, which has got to be miserable if you're caught in this, quote, rebuild as a player?
Well, yeah, that's a tough place to be as a player, as fans, you know, to just watch that, to play in an environment like that. But the facts of the matter is they just don't have enough talent right now to compete at a high level. You look at the trade today, you know, the Lakers and Dallas. I mean, superstars like Luka, Anthony Davis going from one team to the other. I think Dallas benefits more early on, Lakers possibly later. They'll benefit most because, you know, Luka's the better player. He's the best player in this whole thing. But I think that
at 25 years old.
Yeah, But I think the fit right now with how Dallas, the way Dallas is structured, and you put an Anthony Davis in there, I think that fit is better than what the Lakers have right now. So if they make some other trades or what have you, we'll see. But right now, I think Anthony Davis, you know, he's so good on the defensive end, and with being able to get you 30, 40 points, double figures, rebounds in the ball. You got Klay Thompson on the perimeter, Kyrie out there. You know, you have and here's the understated person. I think that you have a local DMV guy in Najee Marshall. He's a 6'8", 6'9", guy who handles the ball, and he's a pass first type of player offensively, right? And so that fits with, once again, playing with a Klay Thompson and Kyrie, who has that the ability to play on and off the ball at the same level. So he's going to have times where he can chill and not exude as much energy while playing off the ball, playing with a guy like Najee. And then he's going to be able to have that energy later to play with the ball in his hand and create for others. So I just think Dallas mesh a lot better with the trade of Anthony Davis coming than, you know, Luka playing with LeBron. And, you know, the interior, you have no interior there. So it's going to be tough. Defensively, they losing a lot, you know, and so they're going to have to make up for that.
Brother, you just dropped some dimes on his metal. Did you? I hope you were recording, because that'll end up on the Odyssey Rewind, because you just nailed it. And we love it, man. I don't know if you have heard anything about this new basketball league. Have they tried to hook you up yet? Whether you still – could you give us 25 now, if need be?
Yeah, man, I definitely can give you 25, Doc. No question.
Okay, so you still running?
Yeah, I'm running a little bit, man. So, you know, I got to keep it tight over here.
Well, I love that. Well, I'll tell you what, man. Anybody that doesn't regularly listen to broadcast, Holiday, Naki, Williams, as Coach Thompson would say, it is simply one of the best. And we appreciate you sharing your knowledge. You are a superstar, and you're always available, man, for the little people. And I appreciate you.
Doc, you're a superstar yourself, brother. It's just a pleasure always talking to you, my man.
Thank you. Mevel, did you hear it, man? He just put us on blast.
Yeah.
Yeah, love that. Hey, folks, appreciate you listening. That is the wizard, Walt Williams. And I always think about my boy Gary Williams out there. Give him a shout-out for Coach, man. That's my dog, man. Love that group, man. Terrapins are off the chain. We'll be right back. Oh, boy, what a day it has been. And it's really the things that you don't get to hear about that are funniest. I've heard from several old teammates today on the second year of February. And the gladiators and guys that you went to war with, guys that you battled with. And we played on some special teams, and you're just lucky to be born at the time and to end up in a situation, because it only works for two teams a year and only one is crowned champion. But you know what it's like. I don't know what it's like to lose the NFC Championship game, because we didn't. But to hear from these brothers today, and Dutch, hey man, you know, none but love for you, man. And they're laughing because these dudes, they did it the right way, because they're not slaving on Sundays. And I ain't mad at them, you know. And speed kills. We understand it. But they love the game. They love competition. And nobody, I mean, it's been 42 years. You know, like, you're talking about Super Bowl 17, you go, and I don't know, and I guess older people have been selling you this forever, but you just didn't know how to. You know, you just didn't know how to listen to it. It's cool. But it is funny. So I'm just laughing at them as they make fun of me. They make fun of people that are still laboring for a living, and it's cool. Back to the lines we go, the MGM National Listener Lines, and Mitchell up in New Jersey, what up?
Hey, doing, Doc. How's it going?
Hey, Mitchell, it's a labor of love, man.
It is. If you love what you do, it's not work.
There you go. That's what they say.
In your life.
There you go. There you go. I don't know. I don't want to try not getting paid to do it, though.
You heard that Jerry Seinfeld life line. I never had a job, or a real job, put it that way.
Yeah.
But anyway.
What's up?
Would you say the Lakers got over in that trade? What was Dallas thinking? He always plays. He's always hurt. He seems to not miss that many games. I didn't understand that deal.
Yeah, it's you know, the Lakers won because they got a chip out of AD. Here's the deal to me. That Luka's like AD. They're both the same kind of guy. Neither one of them has challenged their bodies in the offseason. So here's the thing you got to understand. I think it's a good move. If nobody works like LeBron James. He's a workout fanatic. But he couldn't influence AD. Now he's got Luka, who works out less than AD. So
yeah,
the question is,
chocolate milk.
Well, let's find out. Because the Laker organization, to me, is the Beverly Hillbillies. So I have no confidence in what they do. Because to me, why would I get rid of a guy who underachieves to get another guy? Yeah, he's got flashy numbers, but he's never in shape. And you get him with a guy who's it doesn't make sense. But anyway,
And I'm a Clipper fan.
Well, I'm a Laker guy. And because usually they deliver at some point. But when you run like a country grocery store, you know, Genie Bus, pardon me, and Belinka, it's a joke. It's a joke. It's an embarrassment. But it's what it is.
Somebody mentioned,
and usually they've been able to run the clown show and give you a championship. I don't think that dog is going to hunt anymore. So might as well do this and see if this guy changes his...
I think part of it, too, Doc,
operation.
Is Luka was due a big contract extension for at the end of this season. And I think this is Dallas avoiding that.
Smart for them. He's 25 years old.
Sure.
But and he doesn't
like
love to train.
Contract, basically. So if you're going to keep him, you're going to pay him the max you can pay a player. I think they didn't.
You think he's
going
to be in better shape when he's older? If he doesn't love training as a baby, you think he's going to get better at it older? Heck no!
But I think
he's going to be worse.
Cap space kind of thing for them too. I think is part of it. It's not just
exactly.
Like, oh, Anthony Davis isn't as good. It's also like, well, they wanted the cap space. So.
Yeah. He doesn't love the game. So if you get a guy, I don't want anybody around me that doesn't love the. If I got an option. Give me the guy that has posters in his bedroom of George, of the Ice Cube, of Iceberg Slim. I want a fanatic about the game, not a guy that's just trying to get the bag. That's the problem that's been here in Washington so long. You got to be able to designate the bank robbers, figure out who the con artists are. They're everywhere. And you got to figure them out. Now, if they're in your front office, then shame on you. All right, let's go to Bonesy. K9, welcome home.
My main man, Doc Walker. Shout out to Heavy Metal. Yeah, Doc, I'm still like mourning in regard to, my team not being in the Super Bowl. But I'm going to just take it one day at a time, and keep hope alive. That this office, this front office, is going to get this lineup together. And that's where I'm at, and I'm going to be like that, man, until training camp. I love you, man. I just called to say I love you, man, and y'all keep doing what y'all doing. Thanks for
love you back,
call.
But let me give you some advice. You better let that go. You're going to mess around, have an ulcer, and they ain't going to contribute a dime to your medical bill. Tuesday, I let it go. I was with you till Tuesday. And usually, what the junkies do, when the Misery Monday, Victory Monday, the whole thing, and Kennard called it off. He said, no, Misery Monday. Okay, cool. So we celebrated it that. I'm done with it. Because I now trust the organization. They'll fix it. Why would I linger on and ruin my offseason when they had the best season they've had since I had hair? You're better than this, Bonesy. Don't torture yourself this way. Believe me. Save your energy, man, for your family. And go have some fun. And then when it starts up, we'll jump back into it. You mess around, have an ulcer. All right? Okay, that's a little Bonesy going. Yes, let's go to break on that. Because you don't have to have an ulcer. Are you kidding me? These dudes, man, but this group does care. I'll give them credit. Far more than the last group of jackasses that was in there impersonating people that actually knew what the hell they were doing. That was a joke. To break we go. We come back. And we just keep playing the hits. How about Skeletos on the ground? Donna Hopkins has been at Commanders on the ground. She'll give us an update when we come back. .33 in the nation's capital. I understand that there's a Mr. Willingham that is scheduled at high noon. So brace yourself. Skeletos on the hill. I don't know if Donna Hopkins is scheduled for New Orleans or not, but we will find out shortly. She's expected to jump out of her helicopter and join us right here, courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. So, Ms. Hopkins, are you scheduled for New Orleans?
Hey, Doc, not this time. Only if the Commanders was going to be there one game shy of being at that Super Bowl, I would have been landing down probably about right now.
So we turn our attentions. We take one last look backwards to Philadelphia. And clearly, we can just do the woulda, shoulda, coulda, all words of losers. Because with four turnovers, you don't deserve to beat Springfield. I mean, it's just the things we talked about going into the game, that establishing that Philly had that line of dominance. They can control the line of scrimmage on both sides. They can dictate pace because they can run the ball down your throat and you can't. So I'm going to ask you, what is the biggest question mark that you have coming out of this season as we enter next season about this team's version of burgundy and gold?
Yeah, like you said, those four turnovers did them in. And, I mean, you can't recover when you're turning over the ball. Just ask Detroit the game before with the Commanders getting all those turnovers from the Lions. But, you know, when I look at this season and how this team came out of it and had, you know, got to go into the NFC Championship game, and nobody foresaw that happening. You thought that, okay, this may not be a rebuilding year for this team, but as Coach Quinn said, recalibration of restarting this team. So that's, to me, it was a restart of this team, and it started quicker than I thought that it would in some key areas. I thought that going into the season that, and coming out of the season, that this offensive line wasn't as bad as I thought that they would be. I thought that would be one of the areas that they would need to grow at a lot, but some key pieces on that line helped to navigate the younger guys that was on that offensive line. And the defensive line, still some question marks there. I think that on the defensive side of the ball, we saw some good things, some good growth. And I think what I took a lot away from this is Coach Quinn talked about, hey, establishing their identity early on. And you saw that happen with all the different players that came into this organization to play for this team, some on one-year contracts, and hopefully some of those guys will be back, because you definitely don't want to get rid of too many players because of what you built here. So I saw some good things take place. I'm glad that Cliff Kingsbury is going to stay here, because I think that he was key in the growth of Jaden Daniels and that offense in general. So it always helps to keep your coaches intact for at least a couple of seasons. And because of that, I think that this team, you know, at the end of the season, they're in good shape of where they left this team and what they're going to build come next year. Because it's some key pieces that still need to be placed on this team to even push them a little bit forward.
Yeah, I agree with that. And if we identified the top three areas that you'd like to see improvement on, or that, let's be frank, that are mandatory, because you're not playing the Little Sisters of the Poor next year. You're going NFC, the Norris division. So it's going to be rough next. And you don't sneak up on anybody. What are those three areas of concern in your mind?
Yeah, it's going to be brutal next year when you look at that schedule. And you got to be better. So I'm always telling people that where I'm going to start at is in the trenches. Both the offensive line and the defensive line is where you build championship teams. Just ask the teams that's in there right now in the Super Bowl and the teams that were in the playoffs, some of those teams, that you build your team around the offensive and defensive line. And I think that it's some pieces that needs to be put in on the offensive line, a couple more bodies there. They drafted, you know, Coleman last year, but I need two more bulls up there on that offensive line. And on the defensive line, I need a pass rusher. You have to get a pass rusher, and you got to have someone to plug that middle a little bit more. So you need a couple more defensive linemen, you know, to shore up. I don't know if John Allen or Deron Payne will be back, but, I mean, it's hard to find defensive people, but you have to shore up those two areas. And then we saw that when you have a running game, ask Detroit, ask Philadelphia, ask some of those other teams, you've got to get that running game shored up a little bit more, too, because that, to me, you know, at times it was spotty. You didn't have a running game. And Jaden Daniels can't run for every yard, and he was the leading rusher. You can't have your quarterback being the leading rusher. So I think, for me, those are the three areas. Your running back, I love all those people there, but you have to even get better in your running game and the defensive line and the offensive line. Those are the three areas for me, but I got to throw it a double to one more. You got to get another cornerback, too. I mean, if you get another corner, I think those areas. So to me, it's like four top areas, and those are my four.
Mm-hmm. Big fella has a question for you.
Well, I was kind of wondering, what do you think they should do in the draft as far as, like, do you think they should be making moves, trading for more picks? Or do you think they should be trading picks and trying to get, like, established veterans? That's kind of what I am wondering Adam Peters will do right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody wants all of these extra picks and everything. And I think that what we got to look at, that Washington has a good salary cap. I mean, their salary cap is huge. They're in good shape as far as bringing in some veteran players, because everybody wants to build the team with just drafts. And I'm looking at the way Adam Peters has built this team as a little bit of both. The draft and through free agency. So to me, I don't like to be giving up too many draft picks or deferring those later on, because they have, you know, picks that they have right now that they can get some bodies in here. But free agency is going to be a key area too, is to bring some bodies in here with some of the ones that they're losing on this team. So for me, I think that with this group, that Adam Peters and everybody, if you look at what they did last year, they did a little bit of the draft and free agency. And they signed people for, you know, 1 year. And I see that happening again, because they were filling themselves out last year a little bit with who's going to fit with this team. And so they may get some more veterans in here, that 1-year contract, 2-year contract, because they're not going to mortgage this team by giving up a lot of money for big name players. They're not just going to do that, like, you know, past regimes where they gave up a lot of money and they weren't able to show up some of the areas that they need to. And I think with Adam Peters, throughout this whole year, he started to plug in some pieces on this team. All season long, you saw moves happening. And I think that's the way I see it going, is not, you know, trying to get more draft picks to give up anything. But I think they're going to do a little combination of both with the draft and free agency. And there's a lot of good people out there in free agency that's going to be free.
Well, yeah, it's an exciting time, you know, watching the Senior Bowl and looking at prospects. And I do think O-line, edge rusher, corner, those would be the three areas to me that if AP likes what he is available, then go for it. But that's on him. I think the areas are pretty easy to see that if it fits, make it work. And maybe we get lucky and get a prize bull like Dexter Manley, who, by the way, has a birthday today, too. I think Dexter's now 102. So it would be...
And still moving like he's 20.
And still running 4.5. It's still running 4.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
If we can get so lucky.
Yeah. I think if you can do that as far as some of the... I mean, look what happened to Washington this year. They get Bobby Wagner. They get a Frankie Louvu. They get a Jeremy Chinn. Those are just three to top the list off. And those guys really contributed big for this team. Now, they got to sign all those guys back for the most part. But if you can get that caliber of player and not have to mortgage the team, then you're going to be in good shape. And I think that's how Adam Peters operates, is trying to get those players who people think, oh, man, they don't have much left. But these players, that ones I just named, they had a lot left to help this team, not just from the talent standpoint, but from the leadership standpoint. And Rick, you know that we talked about it all the time, leadership. And finally, we saw that leadership this past year, with those names that I just named, with, you know, Bobby Wagner and what he brought to this team. And, you know, their play speaks on the field. And everybody is talking about the wide receiver group. Well, we see the wide receiver group stepped up. You know, as far as De'Ami Brown told me after the season ended, well, he wants to be back. But you know what? It's a business. So he said, don't know if I'm going to be back, but I think he made a big case for why he should be back. Alamide, they talked about them liking him a lot. And then, you know, Terry was Terry. With Jaden Daniels, nobody could not be good with him because he's going to make everybody better around him. So the wide receiver group, we could get another one, it won't hurt, but that's not an area that I think we are at great need. Those other areas, we are at greater need.
Well, I agree with you, and we just wanted to say, on behalf of the listening audience, appreciate your season of contribution. It for us, the Burgundy and Gold, we'll take a pause, and then I can't wait to jump right back into it. Because we're used to the off season. We've been all world in the off seasons and been miserable in season. Now we're getting out of that swing, and I kind of like the lower profile. But this is going to be fun because now we know what we're capable of. And the expectations will be higher. And I think it's a good thing. And I just want to see now how this team develops. And because the fan base is going to be thirsty. They're going to be really, really off the chain. And I can't wait to do it. And want to thank you for your season, your contribution, and all the things that you got going. And give our best to the guy with the white beard.
I definitely will. It's been fun, Rick, all season long, kicking it with you all. So you know what? It starts back up in February with me at the Combine.
Oh, yeah. But no, we ain't done. We'll get you after the Super Bowl. We'll get your Super Bowl wrap.
Yeah,
and then we'll give you a few weeks off, and then we'll kick it back up. All right.
Yep, I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl. So,
me too.
Fun, and I want to shout out to the fans. You all were smoking hot this season. So you deserved everything that was displayed from this Washington Commanders team this year that gave you life again.
Very well said, and we appreciate that. We've got a hell of a fan base, hell of a listening audience right here on 106.7, the Fan Team 980, and the Odyssey family. It really has been quite a pleasure to be in on this team. And, you know, like I say, we're just getting started. It's going to be a heck of a year. And we got teams that are winning on the threat. Ovechkin, the Caps, last night was not the outcome I'd hoped for, but the process, it was a grind. Two of the best teams in the NHL going after, and we're involved in it. So it's so neat to just be in the thick of things again. Wizards win. I mean, hallelujah. So things are happening. Have a good one, Donna.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Have a good one. You got it. We go to break. We come back. We'll squeeze in a couple more calls before we take it to the top of the hour. And a young man, Mr. Willingham, is scheduled to take over at the top of the hour. Back in a moment. Beat goes on here on Overtime, Team 980, 106.7 The Fan. Appreciate all of you taking advantage of the MGM National Listener Line. You've been a real treat. It's been a good move, man. Shout out to AWOD, a man who usually mans this AM deal. Your boy's usually doing 12 to noon, and we're mixing things up. It's been quite a weekend. All the way across the board, a serious tip, and having to say farewell. And as we say, we're in the neighborhood in a minute for Brother Pete Medhurst. And prayers to the family and a warrior, true warrior. We're going to go out as we go out, man, in friendship. Steve in the District of Columbia. You're our last caller of the program. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Doc?
It's been a great, great morning because we've been able to hear from some of the best fans in the world, man, and talking about their beloved Burgundy and Gold. And we had a pretty good cross-section today, NBA, chat, college. And it's been a good morning.
I appreciate you a lot, Doc. I just going to say, I was looking at the free agents who are available, like who was like the multi-star free agents. Everybody's all hurt. And I think our hardest competition is going to be to re-sign our own guys. My only thought is that in free agency, we go after the highest-rated guard we can get, because I don't think, you know, it's one thing for Sam Cosmi to rehab as well, but a guy that big, it takes a little longer to fix your knee than one of those little guys. But I appreciate everything you do, Doc, so I'll let you finish.
Okay, thank you. Cosmi will be able to get his knee back. He didn't have reconstruction, to my knowledge. It wasn't...
Really?
And they do that now. You'd be surprised what they do now with these injuries. I don't think guard is our issue. I always think outside in. I want tackles because I can always move a tackle down. Seldom do you move a guard out. Coleman's a freak. The fact that he was able to do that.
Yeah, I was thinking Brian Robinson, some of his struggle has been just on the inside.
Well, yeah, Brian, as a running back, I just want I love the coaching staff we have. And I think that I just want my room more competitive. I don't want to – I need a running game. I need a back. And I need that guy to take control and be allowed to take control. I need a strong inside runner. Marion Barber, the old cowboy, beast mode, like Riggo. My favorite backs, aren't fancy. They're persistent. They're persistent. Their shoulders are square. They're attacking going downhill. We're running a lot of tag blocking, base blocking. You know, I'll do some trapping. But the bottom line to it is that the emphasis has got to be we got to control the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And I'm a two tight end. I'm a fullback guy. I'm not trying to trick you. Though I like the Eagles. The Eagles ain't trying to trick you. They got the biggest, most physical offensive line in the sport. And they had the best back in the sport. They're running, their quarterback is multidimensional, which means he can run too. So all that's got to be for them to, can they stop infighting? Because clearly they got some issues. Now, do those issues deny them being champions? We'll have to wait and see. But on paper, there's nobody that should stand up to the Eagles. But you don't win just because you're physical. You got to be smart. You got to be on the same page. There are other elements to being a champion. And right now, that's eluded Philadelphia just by a smidget. Kansas City, by contrast, has everything else.
Yeah, I think it'll elude them again because Kansas City always finds a way. Even they just win by a little bit. You know, it's never close. Right, it's always close. Never a blowout.
Well, here's the thing. Here's two. You know what good programs do? Good programs, their rookies hit the ground running. The rookies, they play their butts off their first year. Kalafas, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs defensive line. They don't get a lot of pub. One guy does, but he's not by himself. Good teams are good at every level. And Spagnuolo, I don't know why he's not up for more talk about a head coach. Guy's fantastic. Not every assistant coach is a good head coach. You know, just the way it goes. Appreciate that call, Steve. You were awesome. And Metal, I know you get tired of people telling you how good you are, but you were fantastic again.
Thanks, Doc.
Yeah. Enjoyed working with you. And what's the guy's name just coming up next?
Linnell Willingham.
Oh, okay.
I'm producing that show, too, so I'll still be here. Even though you're gone, I will still be around.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
You are. Okay.
Double duty today. Double duty.
Yeah, his name sounds familiar. But, well, that's good, too. I would... the beauty about our group, our fan base, our listening audience is that I feel like Ernie Banks. I always want to play two because you know you working well. And I didn't hear, even though I know he's making me earn it, but when I don't hear from G from the shop, I know I have to work harder. I have to get better. As always, a way you can get better. You should evaluate your shift. You should evaluate your job every day. You should evaluate yourself. And now I know I got to get better. Because to me, the mark of approval is, you know, you don't know G from the shop, which means that I got to grind harder. I didn't hit the bell at the carnival. You know, do you ever go to the carnival and slam that hammer, try to hit the bell? Try to get the gift, the stuffed animal?
Nah, I don't do many of the games.
But did you ever do it? I know you did.
Nah, not really. I've always found those kind of.
You never hit that thing to hit to see if you can hit the bell.
I don't really play the games. I just feel like they're scams. Eh.
Of course they are.
Well, that's why
you never did that.
No, I don't think so. No.
You with them cute little girls you have as daughters, you never went and did that to win them a stuffed animal.
Nah, I'm not that guy. No.
Wow.
I don't really like the scam. I'll go do the rides. I'll do like other stuff with them at a fair. Get candy canes or what, you know, they have the cotton candy or whatever they like. But I just, the scam games, I just don't care about. I don't know. They've never been my thing.
Okay, where are there not scam games?
Well, I mean, just any of those like carnivals or fairs or Coney Island, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's not my thing, the games. The other stuff I tend to like, just I don't do the games. I feel like I'm just throwing money away.
Well, I guess at the end of the day, as we wrap it up, seldom does the NBA trump NFL, but I think in this case, it did. This is one that no one really kind of saw it coming. But Luka and AD, they have a lot of similarities, even though not matched up age-wise, but terrific players, all-stars. You can't discount it. One offensively, very talented. The other one defensively, supremely talented. Both missed a lot. Isn't it ironic that both of them are out now?
Yeah, I mean, weird.
How do you make a move this big and both guys out?
We picked up Lattimore when he was injured, so I mean, it just seems to happen these days.
Yeah, again, of 11, he's one of 11, and you knew that. And corner is specialty. You can't play hurt, and you saw what happened. I think he got a raw deal. He'll get over it because his check will make him smile. But he's being questioned now. My question by people that want to see the team win but aren't evaluators of talent. If you were, you'd know how hard it is to play hurt, and you damn sure don't play cornerback hurt. You with me? Yeah.
No, for sure. No, you got to be 100%.
You got to be 100%. So to think he's not good just because he couldn't cover the lead athlete and one of the best in the world and he's hurt shows that you are a nitwit for that moment. That's a nitwit moment. Yeah. All right. So to break, we go on that. We're going to stick around just for good behavior. And but, you know, really? Oh, okay. Well, then we won't have to. All right. Good deal.
Well,
God bless you, as always. It's an honor. Always an honor to work for you. And we do what we do. DOC on a hot microphone, metal. We're out.